You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come to feel what you need when what you really want inside. you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. I never meant cares about you.
Ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me. You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
What your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a rare disease.
Running like a rare disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah. You gotta learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope you are well today. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do, hoping too that the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it was not, and you know it had to get done, you know it must get done, then you got it done. You got, because you got the will, so make it happen. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, Rachel 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening, once again, this program, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and all times are going to give our Eastern times. On Thursdays from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move, with Brother Geronimo Pratt and Brother Patrick Lumumba with the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. Friday, 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. All right, family, I apologize. We don't have Baba Baruti on today. Unfortunately, he's dealing with a number of things, and you know, the death of his mother, truly one of them. So we send our sincere, most deepest condolences to Baba Baruti, his family, and so forth, and we look forward to when we can reschedule. Always do. Always will. That's my brother. It's a good brother. Baba Mawalimu Baruti. Bomani, in fact. Mawalimu Bomanti Baruti. So today is, of course, Indigenous Peoples Day. So that's what we're going to talk about. Shed some light on that. And really how important it is that we observe Indigenous Peoples Day and challenge what these Caucasians wanted to have put onto us for many, many years because of their arrogance and dominance. I say what it is. This is what it is. The Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. October 13th. There's a time in your life when you find who you are. That's the golden time of day. In your mind, you will find your bright shining star. Oh, that's the golden time of day. When you feel deep inside all the love you're looking for, don't it make you feel okay? Like the time of the day when the sun is going down. That's the golden time of day. The words of my ancestor, Frankie Beverly, and the music group Maze. Frankie Beverly. No sane African would disagree that discipline builds character. Understand, family, what discipline is. That's why I hate the society. I watch programs and they talk about they're going to discipline this guy, you know. No, they're not. They're going to punish him. This society, I hate this place, brother. Believe me, I do. Got to be patient. I really do. Even the subject we're doing and deal with today, Indigenous Peoples Day, hate this place. But discipline is not punishment. Discipline is self-imposed order. When you impose order on yourself, you have discipline. You know what to do, how to do it. What do they call the studies? When you seek higher learning, what do they call the studies? They don't call them punishment. They call them disciplines. Because you have to be serious enough and dedicated enough and disciplined enough to go through the rigors of the study to achieve whatever that outcome is, a doctorate degree, a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, or some certificate of learning, a trade, a skill. You have to be disciplined. And so if you don't have any discipline, if you don't impose order on yourself, discipline is self. Impose order. If you don't impose any order on yourself, society must impose order on you. If you out here acting a damn fool, you have no discipline, and you robbing people, stealing from people, raping people, whatever, we got to check you. Because you can't check yourself. You out of control. Discipline is self-imposed order. And when you don't lack discipline, you get punishment. Because you don't have discipline, you get punishment. And this country, the United Snakes, punishes more people than any country in this world. There are more people in prison than any place. And for longer periods of time. And they'll kill your ass like they killed Brother Marcellus Williams a couple weeks ago. Yeah, they'll put your ass to death. Even though there are prosecutors and others saying, no, let's think about this. Let's not do this. There might be something else out there. But the state of Missouri said, nah, fuck that. We're going to kill him. And they did. Oh, but he wasn't the first one. He's one of many, family. And you know it. I just talked about last week, Jeffrey Dahmer and Jesse Anderson, how the state of Wisconsin, which does not have the death penalty, found a way to execute both those despicable men for what they did. Yeah. Discipline. Self-imposed order. When you don't impose any order on yourself, the society must impose order on you. So next time you hear some announcer, especially like in sports, somebody just something wrong, yeah, they're going to discipline him. Think to yourself, no, they're going to punish. punish him. See, they don't like to use the word punishment because of the negative connotations to it. They'll use discipline when they mean punishment. And this society is hell-bent on punishment. No sane African would disagree that discipline builds character. And being complements and building family together bring greater discipline to the individuals involved. Wait a minute, can you put my glasses on? Sorry, family. Oh, that's much better. Because it requires them to humble themselves and relinquish their selfishness for a more mutual benefit, ashe, family. Discipline is one of the complementarity's most important but least acknowledged benefits. It is a benefit which naturally matures within an umbrella, nation-building philosophy and mission, claiming it requires something that is greater and higher than so that the difficulties that naturally come with complementarity relationships do not create irreparable damage. As Africans aspiring to a complementarity within Ma'at, it should go without saying that there can be no sovereignty without complementarity, and no complementarity without African identity and power. Sovereignty and complementarity are inseparable concepts. Neither can begin to become fully developed without the other. They provide a naturally protective ingrainment for those of us working to be African. Given time, we will again be able to see that the golden time of day is best experienced within complementarity. Ashe, ashe, ashe. Affirm every moment in my golden time of day. Affirm every moment is my golden time of day. Ashe. October 14th. Consciousness is the opposite of indifference, of blindness, of blankness. Consciousness is acknowledged, recognition, foresight, common experience and perception, sensibilities, alertness, mindfulness. It stirs the senses. It stirs the blood. It exposes. It suggests. It will objectify, enrage, and direct consciousness. George Jackson, Soul Dad Brothers. There was a time when Europeans discovered the importance of domesticated horses in their race for control of the world. Those animals provided the pulling power and the speed necessary to gain a global competitive edge. In fact, horses became so important to their edge that death by hanging befell any individual who stole another person's horse. With time, the steam and gas combustion engines replaced horses' pulling power and speed, and it became another white man's burden. Horses then became the main ingredient in canned dog food. It was not until animal protection agencies stepped in that this widespread slaughter ceased, but not before they were nearly decimated. The anthology for us is that with the African man who also has lived out his usefulness, at one time, his backbone was also central to building Yorugu's global empire. And as with horse stealing, to another Yorugu's enslaved African without permission was a capital crime. To take another Yorugu's enslaved African without permission was a capital crime. The industrial technology implemented to run their political economy has shifted several times since Yorugu's agro-industrial beginnings, when African men were used as relatively easy exploitable labor. The latest stage, the service information system of production, finds African men as horses became an unwanted and feared burden. And now, similarly, African men are being fed to the dogs. Firm, I am conscious. Affirm, I am conscious. Outlive your youthfulness.
treat you like a dog.
Yeah. I tell you, family, it's something else, ain't it? Yes, it is, family. It is something else. Indigenous Peoples Day, celebrated the second Monday in October. The second Monday in October. It coincides with Columbus. In October 12th, supposedly he had discovered, he didn't discover nothing. Let's keep it real. He didn't discover anything. In fact, the history of it is such that, you know, he was looking for a route to India. That's why they call the indigenous people Indians. Let me see what I'm on. Let me play something first. Let me play this one first. Just to set this, and then, you know, always something, Brother Oshi. I say. Okay, family. We'll play this one. I was going to play this one, but that's how I'll play this one. Sometimes you're trying to make light and being funny with something. This shit ain't funny, okay? All right, so this one is not funny. The one I had previous is kind of funny. But when you consider what Columbus was able to do because of what he did, the destruction and the death and domination of Europeans. Yeah, here we go, family.
Today we're looking at Columbus Day and Indigenous Peoples Day. Hello, welcome to the Daily Bell Ringer. Please don't forget to subscribe and take a look at the questions down in the description. Also, don't forget to check out dailybellringer.com where you'll find more resources that go with many of the Bell Ringer videos. Columbus Day, or Indigenous Peoples Day, is celebrated in the United States on the second Monday in October each year. The holiday of Columbus Day has a long history and has become a controversial holiday in recent years. Columbus Day celebrates the landing of Christopher Columbus in the New World on October 12th of 1492. Columbus, who was an Italian-born explorer, had set sail from Spain on August 3rd of 1492 with 90 men and three ships, the Nina, Pinta, and Santa Maria. Now, contrary to popular belief, Columbus was not attempting to prove the Earth was round. Most Europeans had already come to accept that idea. Rather, he was attempting to establish a western route to China and India for trade. At the time, Europeans only assumed the Atlantic Ocean was all that stood between them and Asia. They were unaware of the Pacific Ocean altogether. Columbus landed on the island of San Salvador in the Bahamas. Columbus and his crew explored the surrounding islands, landing in Cuba. Columbus believed it to be China, and then the island of Hispaniola, Columbus believed to be the island of Japan. Columbus returned to Spain in March of 1493. Being a hero, having discovered a new world. Columbus would make the crossing to the new world three more times before his own death in 1506. Interestingly, on none of his voyages did he ever step foot on what would later become the United States. Now, one interesting side note to history. Even after his death, Columbus continued to make the crossing to the Americas. Originally, his body was buried in northern Spain, but since then, he's been exhumed and reburied four times, including a trip across the ocean from Spain to the Dominican Republic, then Cuba, then back to Spain, where he is buried today in Seville. The first recorded celebration of Columbus Day in America occurred in 1792 on the 300th anniversary of his voyage in New York. Then, 100 years later, in 1892, President Benjamin Harrison encouraged Americans to celebrate the 400th anniversary of Columbus's voyage and American patriotism. The celebration coincided with the World Columbian Exposition in Chicago and with the first reciting of the Pledge of Allegiance in schools across the country. Celebrations of Columbus Day began to grow in many states, largely due to many Italian immigrants coming to America and celebrating their native son Columbus. Organizations such as the Knights of Columbus began to lobby or urge lawmakers to recognize an official holiday for Columbus. In 1937, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt officially recognized Columbus Day as a federal holiday. The holiday, however, has not been without controversy. First, beginning in the late 1800s, several anti-immigrant and anti-Catholic groups refused to recognize the holiday due to its focus being on Italian and Catholic-born Christopher Columbus. But more controversy has surrounded Columbus due to the fact that he and his men committed terrible acts of violence and enslaved thousands of native people of the Caribbean islands. In one instance, in 1495, Columbus and his men captured and enslaved an estimated 1,500 native people and sent them back to Spain. Columbus ordered native people to find and collect gold for him, and if they did not deliver, they were severely punished, tortured, and even hunted down and killed. Additionally, Columbus and his men brought with them diseases that native people had never been exposed to, which resulted in the death of thousands of native people. Not a federal holiday, but rather a celebration recognized by several individual cities and states. On the second Monday of October each year, Indigenous Peoples Day is a celebration of the culture and history of Native American people. Berkeley, California was the first city to officially reject Columbus Day in 1992, the 500th anniversary of his voyage, and instead officially celebrated Indigenous Peoples Day. Since then, the celebration has continued to grow each year as more states move away from the memory of Columbus and more towards honoring Native American contributions to history. Today, over a dozen states have officially gone from Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day. So, with that, hopefully you learned something, and thanks for watching.
Testing, testing. Testing, 1, 2, 3. I hope again you hear me. I know my headphones are not working. Let me know if you can hear me. And I'm kind of glad I didn't have Baba Barudi on today because I definitely wouldn't want him to experience what I'm experiencing. So we may just have to... take a break. And I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a break, family. And we come back from the break. We'll see if we can continue it. If we can't, for whatever reason, we'll let you know that too. All right, fam. Here we go.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi. On Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Broken glass everywhere. People on the stage, you know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise. Got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back. Junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far. Cause a man with a tow truck repossessed my car. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Standing on the front stoop, hanging out the window, watching all the cars go by, roaring as the breezes blow. Crazy lady, living in a bag, eating out of garbage pails, used to be a fag hag. Such a dance to tango, skipped the life and dango. A zircon princess seemed to lost her senses. Down at the peep show, watching all the creeps, so she could tell her stories to the girls back home. She went to the city and got so did it. She had to get a pimp, she couldn't make it on her own. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My brother's doing fast on my mother's TV. Says she watches too much, it's just not healthy. All my children in the daytime, Dallas at night. Can't even see the game or the Sugar Ray fight. The bill collectors, they ring my phone and scare my wife when I'm not home. Got a bum education, double-digit inflation. Can't take the train to the job, there's a strike at the station. Neon King Kong standing on my back, can't stop to turn around. Broke my sacroiliac, a mid-range migraine, cancer membrane. Sometimes I think I'm going insane, I swear I might hijack a plane. Don't push me, calm, I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My son said, Daddy, I don't want to go to school because the teacher's a jerk. He must think I'm a fool. And all the kids smoke reefer. I think it'd be cheaper if I just got a job, learn to be a street sweeper. I dance to the beat, shuffle my feet, wear a shirt and tie, and run with the creeps because it's all about money. Ain't a damn thing funny. You got to have a con in this land of milk and honey. They push that girl in front of the train, took her to the doctor, sewed her arm on the game. Stabbed that man right in his heart. Gave him a transplant for a brand new start. I can't walk through the park cause it's crazy after dark. Keep my hand on my gun cause they got me on the run. I feel like an outlaw, broke my last glass jaw. Hear them say, you want some more? Living on a seesaw. Don't push me cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. Say what? It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. A child is born with no state of mind, blind to the ways of mankind. God is smiling on you, but he's frowning too, because only God knows what you'll go through. You'll grow in the ghetto, living second rate, and your eyes will sing a song, because deep hate, the places you play and where you stay, looks like one great big alleyway. You'll admire all the number book takers, thugs, pimps, and pushers, and the big money makers, driving big cars, spending 20s and 10s, and you want to grow up to be just like them. Smugglers, scramblers, burglars, gamblers, pickpocket peddlers, even panhandlers. You say I'm cool, I'm no fool, but then you wind up dropping out of high school. Now you're unemployed, all non-void, walking around like your pretty boy Floyd. Turn stick up kid, but look what you done did. Got sent up for an 8-year bid. Now your manhood is took and you're a Maytag. Spend the next 2 years as an undercover fag, being used and abused to serve like hell, till one day you was found hung dead in a cell. It was plain to see that your life was lost. You was cold and your body swung back and forth. But now your eyes sing the sad, sad song of how you live so fast and die so young. So don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Yo, Mel, you see that girl, man?
Yeah, man.
Yo, that sound like Cowboy, man. Yo, what's up, buddy?
Yo.
Hey, where's Creole and Raheem at?
Lay upstairs cooling out.
So what's up for tonight, y'all?
Yo, we can go down to the field, man.
Check out Cuba, man.
Hey, yo, you know that girl Betty?
Yeah, man.
My mom's got balls, man.
Not
what?
Again, man.
She got hurt.
What is happening?
Quit the free. Don't nobody move nothing. Y'all know what this is. Get him up.
What?
Get him up.
Yo, man, we down with Grandmaster
Flash.
That's
the Flash and the Fury. That's the problem.
Is that a gang?
No,
man. Shut up.
I don't hear your mouth.
Yo,
what's the problem?
You the problem.
Yo, you ain't got to push the car. Get in the car. Get in the car. Get in the car.
Why is it so
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Once again, brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network. That's Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, what I consider the baddest rap. That is the baddest, that to me, in my opinion. I hope you can hear me. I believe, because I can't hear myself through these headphones. But I hope that you can hear me, and that's what's most important. Let's do this. I'm going to play another piece later, but let's do this. Yeah. So, okay. That's set up. Let me do this. Okay. Okay, family. I'm going to do this. This is Indigenous Peoples Day, but we're going to talk about Columbus and the Indigenous people and other issues that affect us and them and the world because of who and what they are. That means Europeans. Here's a piece I've always played, not played, but read as I do this particular part of the program. It's from Brother Ezra Erehone, The Sovereign Psyche. There is no other historical instance of a formerly enslaved people who valued integration with their captors, their former captors, to the point where they completely abandoned the superior wealth of their own homeland. This quote is just so painful, man. This quote is just seriously painful because it's unfortunately deeply true. When you consider the Africans that constantly trying to leave Africa, come to Europe, come to America, while all those countries are trying to come into Africa to take the mineral wealth of Africa, both physical and material. It is sad and pathetic. There is no other historical instance, no other thing in history of any other people who were formerly captivated by a colonizer, an intruder, and they overwhelmed them so deeply that they valued integration with that captor to the point where they completely abandoned the superior wealth of their own homeland. Yeah, I agree, family. That is tough to read. It really is. What Columbus did is he opened up this hemisphere, the Western Hemisphere, to Europeans at the time that Europeans were coming out of a dark age, a medieval age. And so what they did is that they allowed Europeans to make claims that weren't true, of course, and to take things by force because they had superior weaponry. They had developed a gun, cannons. This is to the British Parliament in the 2nd of February of 1835. Lord Macaulay addressed to the British Parliament. I have traveled across the length and breadth of Africa, and I have not seen one person who is a beggar, who is a thief. Such wealth I have seen in this country, such high moral values, people of such high caliber, that I did not think that we would ever be able to conquer this country unless we break the very backbone of this nation, which is her spiritual and cultural heritage. And therefore, I propose that we replace her old and ancient education system, her culture. For if the Africans think that all that is foreign and English is good, and some of them do, even to this day, sadly and pathetic, that all that is foreign and English is good and greater than their own, they will lose their self-esteem, their native culture, and they will become what we want them to be, a truly dominated nation. Man, when I read that and say that, it just bothers the shit out of me. Because that's what happened, family. That's what happened. This is a piece that I... Let me find that piece. It's my brother, Renoko. Renoko Rashidi. Okay, I'm coming upon it. Thank you for your patience, family. See, I had to jump in and do some changes and improvise, adapt, and overcome. That's what you got to do. And now I got to find what I'm looking for as well. Yeah. I'm looking for what Kwame Nkrumah said. Because what Kwame Nkrumah said at the in 1957, to be African American is to be African without memory and American without privilege. I hope we understand that. Okay, fam. Thank you for your patience, family. Okay, here it is, man. This is a speech of freedom. He said this in 1957, Ghana was the first country to establish freedom from a colonizer, from the British. He said something a few years later. He said, "I believe strongly and sincerely that with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture." You see how I emphasize culture in that piece of McCall? Because that is the bottom line. African culture. United under one federal government will emerge not just as another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but as a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear or envy and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, friendship, and directed to the good of all mankind. The speech of freedom. Osagyefo. Kwame Nkrumah, 1961. A few years later, he said this. He said, "If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore." Yeah. Yeah, family. Then we had suffered heretofore. And that's what happened. That once again, this pains me because this is what has happened. Mama Marimba put this out there about 3 or 4 years ago, maybe a little longer, I don't know. She said, to be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effects that the European has had on our ability to think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from Europeans' thoughts so that to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europeans, this is demanded by an African-centered view. Because why? Because we are Africans. And because the future to which Europeans lead us is genocide. Yeah. It is. It's genocide, family. And we haven't played this in a while, so we're going to play this, and then we're going to get off into, hope you can, it's almost 12 o'clock. Here we go, family.
Continent about the fact that Africans are awaking. There is a lot of talk about the fact that we are woke. But the question that I'd like to ask you is, almost 100 years ago, a man called Marcus Garvey rose and told Africans that they must unite. Unite in their control of resources. Unite as nations. Unite their imaginations, their dreams, aspirations, and capabilities to grow in Africa and a race that will be able to self-determine and compete against other races. A man called Kwame Nkrumah came and said the same message. And another by the name of Malcolm X said the same. But the question is, after almost a century since the rise of Marcus Garvey, has Africa achieved unity? Do we control our resources? Do we unite in our aspirations, dreams? And have we elevated Africa into a continent and a race that can compete and self-determine against other races? The truth of the matter is we have failed. We have failed because we have remained divided. We've continued to work as 54 different states that continue to be subjugated. This is why the French continue to have 14 colonies on the African continent. It is why 36 African countries have got American bases and AFRICOM on their soil. It is why many African countries continue to sell their resources, their institutions, for debt to countries like China. And the question that I'm now challenging you, the woke generation, with is, what are we going to do about it? The reason we've got wars on the African continent is because we're being divided for conquest. The reason we've got sanctions on the African continent is that all the independent knowledge and education, the power to take control of our resources, can be destroyed so that Africa can continue to be colonized by our Western colonizers. This is why now we need to rise. Remember that you, the African American, with all your paper money, the greatest wealth among all black nations, only have paper money, but the true wealth is in Africa. The true wealth is the reason why Africa is under sanctions and war, the one that Europeans want to keep for themselves. You need to bring your paper money your skill, your knowledge, your frustration back to Africa to invest it in the control of real wealth and real resources in the form of the oil, the diamonds, chrome, lithium, cassiterite, and all the other resources that the Western worlds are fighting to control in Africa. Your paper money can be leveraged into machines, skills, technology, and the knowledge that Africa needs in order to move and prosper. You, the Caribbean, with your skill, power, determination. You, the Jamaican, the first people to resist European colonialism. You, the Haitian, the very first black peoples to defeat a European army. You are the answer to Africa's problems. You, the European African, with all that you've learned and earned, the basketball player, the soccer player, the sportsman, the singer, the musician, the actor, with all your billions of dollars, are the investment that Africa needs to stop its dependency on the colonizer. It's about time that we rose. And I'm saying that Marcus Garvey's dream can be fulfilled, because when he dreamt it, not a single country, not a single African country was independent. When he dreamt it, not many black billionaires existed, if any. But today we've got black billionaires. Today the richest man in Africa is a black man. We have what it takes and the capacity that it takes to grow our continent into being a continent that can be respected, can self-determine, control its resources, control the processing of those resources, and create currencies based on those resources to be the leading economy in the world. With that, we can industrialize, grow up the technology curve, and begin to create the machinery, the tools to defend the sovereignty of this continent. And now I say it's time that we unite. We have countries like Zimbabwe under U.S. war sanctions to make it unattractive for any African to come, because Europeans are preserving it for themselves. But I'm inviting you, my African-American brother, you Africans in the diaspora, you Africans on the continent, to say, come and take advantage of the greatest reserves of lithium, chrome, gold, true wealth, land, an opportunity to develop infrastructure for us to create wealth as a people, for yourselves, for the advancement of Africa. The time to awake is now, but awakening takes action, pride, investment, development, innovation to give our people power. This is the time.
Yes, brothers and sisters, now is the time. Now is the time for us to make our move to independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for the people. I'm going to take another break. We come back from the break, family. We're going to get off into this Indigenous Peoples Day. All right? All right. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Tonight, all of the speakers have agreed that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem,
self-destruction. It really ain't the rap audience that's bugging. It's one or two suckers, ignorant brothers, trying to rob and steal from one another. You get caught in the mid. So to crush that stereotype, here's what we did. We got ourselves together so that you could unite and fight for what's right. Not negative cause. The way we live is positive. We don't kill our relatives.
Pop, 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 want a shot, who's to blame? Headline, front page, and rap's the name. MC Delight here to state the bottom line. The black on black crime was way before our time.
Took a brother's life with a knife at his wife. Cried cause he died of trifling death. When he left his very last breath, was I slept, so watch your step. Back in the 60s, our brothers and sisters were hanged. How could you gangbang? I never ever ran from the Ku Klux Klan, and I shouldn't have to run from a black man. Cause that's
self-destruction.
Funky fresh dress to impress, ready to party. Money in your pocket, dying to move your body. To get inside, you pay the whole $10. Scotch safe with a razor blade, tape to your collar. Leave the guns in the crack and the knobs alone. MC Lights on the microphone. Bum rushing and pushing, snatching and taxing. I cram to understand why brothers don't be maxing. There's only one disco, they'll close one more. You ain't guarding the door, so what you got a gun for? Do you rob the rich and give to the poor? Yo, daddy-o, school him some more.
Just straight from the mouth. And daddy-o,
do a crime,
end up in jail, and gotta go.
Cause you could do crime and get paid today,
and tomorrow you're behind bars in the worst way.
Far from your family,
cause you're locked away.
Now tell
do
me,
do you really think crime pays?
Scheming on taking what your brother has?
You little sucker, you talking all that jazz.
It's time to stand together in a unity. Cause if not, then you're we're soon to be self-destroyed, unemployed. D-rap race will be lost without a trace. Or a clue, but what to do is stop the violence and kick the science down the road that we call eternity, where knowledge is formed and you learn to be self-sufficient, independent. To teach the each is what rap intended, but society wants to invade. So do not walk this path that they laid. It's
self-destruction. Yeah, for self-destruction. Self-destruction.
Let's get together because we're falling apart. I heard a brother shot another, it broke my heart. I don't understand the difficulty, people. Love your brother, treat him as an equal. They call us animals, I don't agree with them. I'll prove it wrong, but right is what you're proving them. Take heed before I leave to what I'm saying, or we'll all be on our knees praying.
Heavy deep, deep in the heart of the matter. The self-destruction is served on a platter. Making a day, not failing to anticipate. They got greedy, so they fell for the bait. That makes them a victim, picked them. New jack in jail, but to the vets, they're a duck. There's no one around, cause in jail, you're a number. They never took the time to wonder about it.
Self-destruction.
Yes, we urge to merge. We live for the love of our people, the hope they get along.
Yeah, so we get a song.
Getting up
point to our brothers and sisters who don't know the time.
Boy, so we run around.
Instead in your heads, you know our job to build and collect ourselves with intellect.
Come on.
To revolve, to evolve the self-respect.
Cause we got to keep ourselves in check.
Or else it's
self-destruction.
You are listening to Time For an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network. On timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Yeah. Self-destruction. Hit for self-destruction. Well, family, like I said, Baba Baruti was unable through some things he's going through in the health and the death of his mother. So I know we will have him on soon, and I'll report that when we do. And try to have some other guests on as well to continue with the forward flow of good information, liberating information, mind-altering information. Information that will help you understand how important it is that we become independent, self-determining, liberated, and sovereign as a people. This program promotes Pan-Africanism. In fact, the motto of the program is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. Get some callers in. There's a bunch of you here. Brother Irv, what's up, Brother Irv? How you doing? Brother Irv, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Baba Oshie. How are you?
Okay, I'm doing fine, man. Am I having any problems, man? Can you hear me correctly? Can you hear me good?
Yeah, I can hear you. What'd you say?
Because I was having problems earlier with my microphone and headphones. Yeah.
I noticed that a little bit. You sound fantastic now.
Great. Let's keep that up.
I just had the question. If you ain't guarding the door, what you got a gun for? You know?
For real.
It's like self-destruction.
That's right.
That song was very appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
That song was very appropriate for right now, and it was made years ago.
Yeah,
all the things that they said in that song still apply.
That's right. Oh man, yeah. I mean that thing was made over 20 some years ago, just like Grandmaster Flash in the Furious Five. To me is the baddest rap piece. And I don't know if they've come up with anything better in terms of elevating consciousness and telling it like it is.
You know that is so true. It tell it so simplistic, a fourth grader could understand what they're talking
about. Yeah.
You know, it's not that complex, but yet it does have layers. The society that we live in is so hypocritical because Irugu is successfully hiding the truth. So it's so many layers to dig through. I was listening to the leading presidential candidate, Kamala, and she's saying that we in America here, we respect sovereignty. And I'm saying, what do you mean we respect sovereignty? You invade Afghanistan.
Well, it depends. Well, it depends upon what nation
you're in Africa.
It depends upon what nation has established sovereignty for itself. See, that's what it depends on. So, no, not in a blanket statement. No, they don't. They're showing the hell don't. But if Israel, who supposedly has their right to exist, label themselves as a sovereign nation, they respect that. They don't respect the Palestinians. They don't respect anybody else outside of that, you see. Because as deep as that is, you know, in fact, I wanted to play Ta-Nehisi Coates, and I'll probably try to play that next day. There's a good piece out in Hill with Melman.
I wish he would play Ta-Nehisi.
Yeah. Because, I mean.
I really do wish he would play Ta-Nehisi.
Yeah. I'm going to do that on Wednesday because that's a good piece.
I don't mean to cut you off.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to Ta-Nehisi Coates, and I wondered, because we, not we, me, I have to speak for myself and stop blanketing to speak for everybody. But when I, in the society that we live in, it's one of these things where if somebody comes for you, you got to come back at them. If somebody says something, and as I get older, mm-hmm. I realize that every statement doesn't require a response. You know, you can say more by being quiet than you can by trying to give word for word, because you're not going to convince a fool. You don't convince a fool. You just become a fool with a fool. Now, both of y'all sound crazy, even though you may be speaking something that makes a lot of sense. But because you're screaming and hollering like the person that you're talking to, mm-hmm. then you both look crazy. So I heard the guy come for him and said, this book, The Message, seems like something that should be in the backpack of a terrorist.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
He didn't.
Yeah,
he
that's
didn't,
Tony. That was Tony Jacopo. Who is on CBS? Yeah, Tony Jacopo, who's on CBS with Gayle King, and my brother, and he kind of like they were supposed to be obviously many times go back and forth with the other two announcers, but he dominated the inquiry to Ta-Nehisi Coates based upon how he felt Ta-Nehisi Coates put that information out there, and considering that you are to give praise to Israel regardless of how and what they do. See? And so therefore, he was under the impression that the way he's written this, it's like, you know, you're saying that Israel doesn't have a right to exist, you know, and he's not questioning Israel's right to exist or not. He's questioning whether the Palestinians also too have a right. He's saying apartheid is what it is. And if it's bad in one place, it's bad in the other. But y'all trying to make it seem like, I mean, it's something that can happen here in Israel because of Israel's unique situation, and then allow Israel the right to exterminate these people so they can take all of the land. See? So that's what's happening, man.
But you know what, Baba Oshia, when you said that, it made me remember that as soon as Arugu doesn't want you to know something or doesn't want you to comment on something, Arugu shuts down the communication. Arugu, I would not have known this unless I read the book or saw the interview that apartheid, which means to be apart.
Right.
That they won't want
separation.
And what they do, he said they have roving checkpoints.
Mm-hmm.
So you may come to this corner and get in checks for what?
Yeah.
It reminds you of if South Africa you
right.
carry a passport, go
right.
from block to block.
Yeah.
And what does that do? That disrupts your day.
Mm-hmm.
It disrupts your life.
Right.
Because it humiliates you for one thing. And then you look around and say, where was I born? I was born here.
Mm-hmm.
Is this my country? And it's interesting how Israel does not even, they won't even have the Jew won't even have the conversation, because the Jew feels, I wrote a book, and in the book it said this land belongs to me.
Right.
And you have to respect that book. And I'm like, you, and you're talking about a people who have stolen everything. They've stolen everything they have. Every invention you see here was stolen. Even the land that we live in the United States was stolen by
yes.
the ocean.
Yeah, that's why when they talk about immigrants, and so everybody's a damn immigrant. But the bottom line is the European, the Caucasian, Urugu places himself above all others. That's the fact that we sometimes don't understand, because sometimes the European pretends or either gives suggestion that we're all part of a human family. But in essence, they don't give a damn about human family. What they give a damn about is control and domination over the human family. See?
You're absolutely correct. If they can't, if Arugu can't take it, and you know what, Baba Oshia, I think about this, the radio show, and I always bring everything back to an African perspective. The radio show, it may seem like to some people who, whether they're not thinking or they don't take it to the next level, but it seems like we on this show talk about the same thing every day. But you know, Irugu will tell you something 35 times a day and you don't say anything. In other words, I watch this television, and I have every station in the world. Don't get it twisted. I watch this television, and I see a Burger King commercial 20 times a day. If I watch this TV, I keep seeing that Burger King commercial. Now, you don't say anything about that. You don't say anything about that. And for me, I'm not going to go buy a burger from Burger King, but I'm thinking about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And but yet, when we come on this radio show, and we talk about sovereignty, self-determination, liberation, revolution, man, all y'all doing is talking. Well, hell, every time you leave your house, you see a billboard. Every time you turn on TV, you see an advertisement. And if you don't, Irugu is so slick. So I was watching the NBA All-Star game, and the girl had on a Louis Vuitton. I never forget this, a Louis Vuitton jacket. And I looked it up, Baba Oshie, because we have the ability to do that now.
Mm-hmm.
I looked up that jacket. That damn thing was $6,000. And I never seen a Louis Vuitton commercial on television, so she's advertising for Irugu, and does she know she's doing that? She was a WNBA star. You know everyone's going to be looking at her because mm-hmm. she plays basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So the point I'm making is we have to be more astute and more aware of the brainwashing that's being done to us on the DL. Mm-hmm. In other words, when you watch these NBA stars coming to the game, they usually show
right.
they never
right.
did that before. They show them coming to the game. What they have on, Baba Oshie?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
the latest designer
the
stuff.
Had on the whole,
yeah.
Come on now, the whole outfit.
Yeah.
And so, am I supposed to go buy that? Some people will. Some people will go buy that. And so all that's advertising, all that's to keep you from why aren't we buying our food from a local chain instead of a national chain? Because mm-hmm. the national chain is international. The money goes out of the country. McDonald's is an international chain.
Mm-hmm.
But they got places in California I don't see in Baltimore
mm-hmm.
because they're local.
Right.
And the money in a local
right.
chain stays in your community. But see, you as an American African, do you believe you have a community?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're trying to live in someone else's culture. And their culture tells you you can't be an American African. You have to be an American. You have to be an integrationist Negro.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't have no sense of nationalism. You can't have any sense of, you know, you notice you never hear about Garveyites anymore. And the Garvey movement was huge. Malcolm X people came out of the Garvey movement. It was huge, but you don't hear it. Why don't you hear it? Because you don't control the media. The media, and Malcolm said it, whoever controls the media will control your thought, and your thought controls your action.
Mm-hmm.
So, Baba Oshie,
yeah.
the reason you don't hear anything coming out of Israel, you don't hear data. When Vietnam was going on, they had pictures. You saw the dead body day to day. A reporter on the scene. He had a helmet on. Looked like he was fighting too. And I'm here in Saigon, and they steady killing these damn Vietnamese.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, taking them out.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that with this war in Israel. But your money's going there.
Billions of dollars, brother. Billions of dollars.
But you don't see it. Why is it when I try to buy this house, which I'm doing right now, they want to see 3 years of tax return. They want to see my check stubs because it's that money. But I'm sending money to Israel right now, my politicians that I voted for, and why can't I see where my money's going? Why can't I see what the money is doing? Why can't I see what the money is for?
Yeah, you sound like Kwaku.
yeah,
Kwaku wants his money earmarked for, you know, building more affordable housing. I mean, I understand what the brother's saying, but, you know, let's be real. You know, they just want your money. This is the tax levy, and this is what I want.
Really quickly, I'm going to stop after this. You go overseas to Iceland or Ireland or Denmark, when they get their check stub, it's a pie chart on their check stub. And that pie chart shows the percentage of their taxes and where they go to.
Mm-hmm.
55% goes to military.
Yeah.
3% goes to socials, this social program. Mm-hmm. It shows where your money goes.
Right.
All I see on my check is SDIC or state tax or federal tax. I don't see where it goes.
No.
But if you did, you would know that. But the majority of your money goes to the industrial military. Mm-hmm. That's where it goes. Most of and we never hear about this private prison system. Why do we never see an audit on that? Why is it that you can take somebody, Baba Oshi, and be in charge of their custody? Like, you in charge of the custody of your children, so you make sure nothing happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
But when you take a grown man into custody in this penal system, if he gets abused, assaulted, or raped, you're not responsible for that.
Right.
But see, that's wrong. Because if I bring you into a show that I'm having downtown and something happens to you, you can sue me because I'm responsible for your safety while mm-hmm. you're in that building. That's why I have insurance. But the prison system, the men can be raped and they can't be sued for that. Shouldn't they be responsible for their custody for their safety if they're in your custody? So I may be thinking wrong.
No, you're right. You are, and you know, are. They are.
But
your life has no value, and so therefore, correct. If anything does happen, so be it.
You're right. You have no rights. You can't vote.
No,
you can't vote, but you can. But you can work in prison and make sure. 3 cents a day or whatever it is. I've never been to prison. I'm speaking on something that I've never done.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's some brothers who have experienced the system at that.
It's
in
a few
that,
dollars.
What I see,
it's a few dollars that they get a day in certain programs that they can involve themselves in. Sure.
Come on, brother. So, no, it's interesting how when Arugu doesn't want you to know something, Arugu will make sure you don't know it. But mm-hmm. How come I know the makeup of Kamala's family? How come I know she grew up in Canada? Because they want you to know that.
Mm-hmm.
But when Arugu wants something, Arugu takes it. He does it. And power is not given, Baba Oshi. Power is taken. And mm-hmm. that's where our people have to, when we come together, we're powerful. But as long as we're apart and fighting each other, we don't have to have uniformity to have unity.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that marched with King didn't think the same, but they looked like they did when they all marched. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So let's leave, like Malcolm said, leave your religion at the door
mm-hmm.
and come on in here and let's get this work done, Baba Oshi. We got work to do.
Yep.
We have minds to conquer. And what I mean by that is the children. They're impressionable. Mm-hmm. I'm an old dog.
Yeah.
But come on now. The children. We need the war should be in the schools. The war should be for the children. And that's where the homosexuals are coming. They're coming for the kids.
Yeah.
Because they can't have none.
Yeah. That's for sure.
No, Baba Oshi.
Either males, either lesbians or, yeah, they can't have none. So anyway,
they can't have children.
Yeah.
You men can't have babies. John Lemon bought a child. Lemon and his white boyfriend.
Yeah.
You know, we're feminizing the men, and then the women are emasculating. The women are becoming masculine. You know, and what? You don't want to talk about that?
Mm.
I saw Kamala on TV the other day, and a guy behind her with a sign, "Gays for Kamala."
Yeah.
And why is that? Why does the
well? That's the demographic, and you've seen the commercials that she's. And to me, they're very damaging to me because kind of offensive.
The transgender one.
Yeah, you know, that she's willing.
Transgender surgery.
Right, that she's willing to allocate money for this surgery for these people. You know, I mean, insurance wouldn't pay for that. Why would the government pay for that? Insurance wouldn't pay for that. You know.
It's called normalization.
Yeah, yeah.
Arugu wants to normalize it. So the children don't get, I ain't never seen that. Yes, you have. You've seen it before. I show it 13 times a day on television. They're normalizing this behavior so that when they come with the argument, Oh, man, you've seen this before. Does it, because I've seen it before, does it make it right? Mm-hmm. If it's popular, is it right or is it right because it's popular? Which one is it? Now we're going back and forth with these words, but, you know, words are thought. Thoughts are media is the way you think. Thinking is what you do.
Right.
So we have to keep telling our message, Baba Ocean. Our message is sovereignty, self-determination, liberation, and revolution.
Right on.
It's a revolution. Yeah. It's a movement going on in Africa right now.
Mm-hmm.
They are realizing. We keep telling them you sleep on gold. You sleep on your wealth. The country ain't poor. And the only reason the people are poor is because they're living in a neo-colonial mindset.
Right. Right.
You don't need nobody to print your money. If you're so poor, why won't they leave, Baba Oshi?
Yeah.
If you got a girlfriend and you don't like her, why you keep calling her?
Mm-hmm.
Why you keep calling her?
Yeah.
Leave her alone. Go to another one. Why? You ain't going to another one because they ain't no other one. Africa supplies the world. Africa has all the resources. And no, I made this up a few minutes ago. And everybody wants them, and nobody wants to pay for them.
I say.
You can use that if you want, Bobby.
I'll tell Dr. Clark. All right, Herb. Okay, brother.
Yo, brother, get somebody else up,
okay,
bro.
Man.
Thank you for letting me speak, Bobby.
Right on. That's right. All the resources everybody wants, think they can't do it out, and they showing the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for it. Yeah. Today, Indigenous Peoples Day, I played the piece which talked about how Columbus Day became what it is. The fact of the matter is that Columbus, being an Italian, and he was commissioned by the Spanish, because the Spanish gave the Portuguese, the church gave the line of demarcation. From this line going west will be the Spanish. From this line going east will be the Portuguese. And so Columbus, was an Italian, but he was commissioned by Ferdinand Isabella to go and seek and get gold. They didn't come. Listen, we have to be very clear, family. Very clear. The exploration of the Caucasian, even though when I read about it when I was a kid, the Renaissance of man, it wasn't that at all. It was the exploitation of Europeans against the world. They went around the world claiming everybody's stuff in the name of, first it was Spain and Portugal, then it was England, Italy, you name it, Portugal. And then when you're talking about the colonization of Africa coming out of the Berlin Conference, I'm telling you, these Europeans have a mindset, and it strengthens them through their religion and their nationalism. And the fact that they have weaponry. And so they didn't come to bargain. They didn't come to trade. No, they came to take. When Columbus and them landed in the Caribbean, he never set foot on American soil, even though he never set foot on the United States soil. But you have more things named after him almost than any other place. You know, the state's capital is the District of Columbia, Columbus. Because why? They hailed him for opening up or for exposing the Europeans to this part of the world. I don't know if he thought the world was flat or not. All I know is Africans knew that the world was round. We knew that if you have an opportunity, family, to look at Great Pyramid K 2019, they showed a brother saying, listen, I'm watching the ship sail away from me And next thing I know, they're gone. Did they fall off? No. The earth is round. They knew. We knew that thousands of years. We knew that thousands of years. And so when Columbus sails here, he wasn't looking to come to this hemisphere. He was looking to go around the Horn of Africa into the Indian subcontinent, India. He was looking for spices and trade with India. That's what he was doing. That's why when he encountered the people in this hemisphere and everywhere he went, there were people. The same thing with the Europeans. Once those Europeans found out about this and they started coming here, every time they set foot on African soil, every time they set foot in this hemisphere on so-called American soil or indigenous people's land, let's put it real, set foot on the indigenous people's land, they were people. One of my favorite movies is Apocalypto, even though it's subtitled, but it's outstanding, so you just got to be quick and continue to read. Apocalypto tells the story of the Mayans. The Mayans. And then at the end, when this brother's being hunted, he is struck by a ship far off. And the people who are chasing him, they're also struck. And then there's a small boat coming to the shore. He runs away to get his family. The two dudes who are running after him, you know, are just kind of catatonic. But they encounter those people. And once those people were encountered, it is over. It is over for the indigenous people of this hemisphere. These people who come out of Europe with guns and so forth, they wanted to take. They wanted to displant you. They wanted to kill you, eliminate you. The Aqua Indians. Not Indian, they weren't Indians. Aqua people. Which is, they were on the island, which is now called the Dominican Republic and the island of Haiti. Genocide. They wiped them out. They wiped them out. If there's other acts of genocide created by people that are non-European, somebody help me out. Rescue me if I'm wrong. It's happened a few times where they have enacted genocide, where they wiped the total group of those people out. They wiped them out and they brought in Africans. When in 1804, when we fought, the only time that it happened in this hemisphere where we fought and killed the French, well, the Spanish and United States came in, England, and we couldn't deal with that. We acquiesced, and we had to pay France reparations. We had to pay France reparations. We just finished paying for them in, I think, the middle of the last decade. Or not last decade, the middle of last century. We finally paid them off. This is crazy. But we don't get a dime. It's mind over matter, family. They don't mind doing to us what they have done to us because to them, we don't matter. We don't matter. A We got some callers here. Good afternoon.
Hey, Oshie, what's happening, bro?
Hey, Jay, how you doing?
I'm all right, man. I thought Baroody was supposed to be on today.
Yeah, he was. He was.
Okay.
Yeah, but he'll right, be back on. Right. So So you just stay tuned. I'm going to give the information when I get it from him.
Oh.
Okay?
Cool.
All right,
you
brother.
You was talking about Columbus, huh?
Right.
Hey, listen, you know, the one thing about Columbus, he didn't know where he was going and came someplace and absolutely genocide all of the people, and he's deemed a hero.
Right.
I guess that puts America in a nutshell, huh?
Yes, it does. I mean, they glorified him. They have more cities and statues of this man because why? He opened up this hemisphere to Europeans. It wasn't Italians that did it, but he was Italian. It was Spanish and later Portuguese that did it, but he was Italian. And in fact, in the 1930s or so forth, when the idea of making Columbus Day a holiday, in fact, Roosevelt made it a national holiday. You know, Franklin Delano made it a national holiday that they celebrate
this
man.
You know, the funny thing is that they didn't even allow Italians to come
right
to this country freely.
Right.
Till, I guess, what, the 20s, I think
right.
It was?
Right, exactly, because they felt Italians were European N-words, as well as the Irish. So, I mean, you know, it's,
right.
I mean, the discriminatory effect of Europeans, if you weren't white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, basically that's British, you know, then you were less than. You weren't nothing. And, of course, the superior mindset of the Germans coming out of the First World War and of truly of the Second World War. So you have these Europeans that have this mindset that they are better than other human beings on this planet.
That's the farthest thing from the truth, because if you look at England and places like that, that's basically, in all honesty, white trash other than the so-called queen. I mean, if you take away the so-called queen, them Europeans would be nothing more than white trash. I mean, they are not producers of anything life-giving. I mean, if you want to be honest about
it. No, and you're right, because you got to look at the history. You know, all throughout the European, Europe is not a continent, okay? Let's get that straight.
Right.
Okay. But all throughout the European land, all the serfdom, all the chiefdom, and all this book, all the poverty and so forth. Only a few had wealth in their hands, and the religious people for hundreds of years. Then, of course, the Moors, who are African Muslims, who settled into Spain and into Portugal, or into what they said was Western Europe, were the only bringers of knowledge and information to Europe at the time. And in ways to better themselves, to clean up themselves, to get water.
Hey, Oshie, you know what it boils down to is this. The European is a superior murderer. That's all they are. They're some of the finest murderers in the world.
Yeah.
And if you notice, the gun has always benefited the European. But in their society, they have basically banned the gun. I mean, if you think about it, the tragedy that was going on a couple of months ago with our people over there, they wasn't being shot in the street. They were beaten with sticks and cut with knives and stabbed with knives and things of that nature. I mean, the contradiction of the European is just absolutely amazing, but they're no less barbaric than the American is. I mean,
the same people
that were going on with African people here were going over in Europe. I mean, where do you think they learned the behavior from? Yeah. But from the Europeans.
Because they're the same people.
I hear somebody talk about the European, I just shake my head and laugh. Because basically, I know they don't know their history. They don't see them for who they really are. And the only thing that wipes the stink away in regards to them is the so-called queen and her majesty and the rest of them tools.
Yeah.
But listen, man, Christopher Columbus was a dirtbag, a murderer, a thief, a liar, absolutely a crazy human being. And I'm going to take the day to just relax, and hopefully the Jets will win.
I heard that, man. Peace. All right. Good afternoon, dear brother. How you doing, Brother Lus? Are you there? I know he breaks away, so you come back. Hit star twice, you know what to do. Yeah. So they started to change Christopher Columbus Day. I know if you're over 70 like me, then you can remember celebrating Christopher Columbus Day in your public school or maybe even in your private school. I doubt if you would be celebrating Christopher Columbus Day if you went to an African-centered school. Then you would probably celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day and understand how Columbus did what he did and why he is glorified and hailed by Europeans, because that's what he did. He opened up all, he made all of this possible for the expansion of Caucasians into this hemisphere and all throughout this hemisphere, because not just in not just Caucasians in Alaska, Canada, United States, the people in Mexico, and all those other Latin American countries, the Caribbean, South America, all the way down. These people came and took all of that. Some indigenous people were phased out or eliminated. And that's what happened. That's what happened. And you see a lot of us, some of us have been there. Some of us were brought there as part of our captivity. Oh, Panama. A lot of us were taken to Panama to work on the canal. There's a lot of us in South America. I would venture to say, there's more Africans in Brazil. There are more Africans in Brazil than any country except Nigeria. A lot of Africans in Colombia. Not so much in Argentina. They had a program in Argentina once the captivity was supposed to be ending to get rid of us, to use the genetics to wipe us out or to eliminate us. That means exterminate. Because they brought white men in, got rid of African men. They had African women. He has a baby with her. That baby can only mate with somebody Caucasian. Only. Can't mate with nobody African to whiten their gene pool. The stuff that has happened globally, man, is just sickening. It's sickening. It really is. And our problem is, that we don't have the leadership globally. I ain't talking about this. The leadership of this country is pathetic. I wouldn't vote for, I wouldn't give a damn dime to none of these folks. There are some people I admire. I mean, listening to Jasmine Crockett, it's outstanding because she be roasting them. Love her, but still, it is about doing the best for us in this government, to making sure that our place in the government is equitable. Our place in the government is we have every right, as they feel, to be participants in this situation than anybody else. Okay, fine. I don't believe it. I could give less than a rat's ass about it. Because number one, you know, even though you'll always be marginalized, you'll always be on the margins, you'll always be on the outside, you'll never be an equal, a full participant, a respected participant in this system. Never, ever. And the fact that your population, us, is younger, the potential for African people to take over here in America is frightening, is scary. So something will be done. Believe me, something will be done. But Africa's population, I've seen a number of things and read a few things about Africa's potential because of the youth of the population and the fact that it has so much resources, the fact that it has so much land, the fact that they can do so much. Their potential is greater than anybody on the planet. But, of course, we lack that. We lack what other countries have. I think right now, family, and you can look it up, I think the most advanced people on the planet are the Chinese. I think they're the people who are ready for this 21st century takeover as we go into the 2030s, 40s, and 50s. The Chinese. It's showing hell ain't the United States. It could have been. But the United States is selfish. The European is selfish and greedy and don't want to share. And so therefore, he didn't put the energy into developing new minds and new ways of doing stuff. Different types of transportation. Working with the land and working, making sure that the country is able to grow and develop and to provide. Didn't do it. They're talking about, you know, going somewhere else, another planet. Because they see what's happening on this one. Because they done messed it up. Correct me and rescue me if I'm wrong. I don't see even the world community doing anything to stem climate change. Once again, I'm saying back in the 80s when I read the article, 40 years ago, 40 years ago, Brother Lusk, good afternoon.
Baba Oshie, good afternoon.
How you doing, dear brother?
Can you hear me?
Good.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I know you mentioned about the Chinese and their inclusion into the continent in and of itself, but could you speak to the listening audience regarding the connection, the intersection and intrasection of us as Americans, of Africans in America and those on the continent? is there a relationship that, well, first of all, should be developed, and mm-hmm. how do we go about doing it in order for a unification of sorts, right? And
okay.
So we also talk about those who have wound up in Australia, those who have wound up in South America, those in Canada and other parts of the European continent up front, up there in that part of the world. But particularly between us and those on the continent, I wonder, is there something that's missing?
Yeah, yeah, there is. Unfortunately, us here, the consistent fight for us to be included here and for us to be able to share in the wealth of America and the development of America, as opposed to looking at Africa and its wealth there and us taking what we have learned here, who we are some of the most technologically advanced Africans on the planet, and taking those skills and going there and to educate and share with our African brothers and sisters there, because they have the mineral wealth. It is unbelievable. Even though for 400 years, Africa has been raped, has been pillaged, but yet still today, it has more resources than anywhere else on the planet.
Yes.
You know? And so if Africans in America and Africans in the diaspora and Africans on the continent got together, I think I just read a piece in, I remember, they said, J. Edgar Hoover, what's one of the dangerous things that you see on the rise? He says, Africans unifying. Now you say Africans. He said, Negroes unifying. We must make sure that that doesn't happen. And that's happened before. I'm constantly talking about that Caucasian, Howard Nichols.
Right.
You know, Africa must never be able to unify. Africa must never be able to produce anything. We must keep Africa poor so we can keep Africa's resources. So, you know, that is the key. That is the key for us. But as long as Africans here in America want so deeply and so sincerely to join with these Caucasians here, these selfish, greedy son of a bitches here, we are going to be in peril. So that's what the problem, that's the problem, you know?
Wow.
So the future for us, would be bright if we understood for us to come together and work with Africans on the continent. Because the continent, I mean, if you got resources, if you got unlimited resources, well, of course, some of it is not unlimited. Some of it is finite. You know, you can only take so much, you know, that's there. But the bottom line is the transformation. And then you look at what other countries have been able to do that don't have the resources that we have. And so to me, the development of African developing rail systems, ports, schools, hospitals, divisions, cities, towns, and so forth, crisscrossing the continent, you know, finding ways that you can hook up areas of the continent and keep migration patterns for animals intact and so forth, and keep that balance going. It is all possible and all there if we have the desire and the will. I'm always saying and emphasizing that word, the will to do it. It is there for us, you know?
Okay.
I mean, when I saw this train, I don't know if it's artificially intelligence, if it's AI, you know, doing it, or if they do have it in China. I don't know. But if what I read about it is the fact that they do, wow, that's a hell of an accomplishment, you know? But then again, you look at China and how China operates. So, but I mean, to me, all that is possible, even in a place like India, with the over a billion people. in that small area. They don't have the land, the resources that we do, but they have the brains that they have developed to be able to be some of the best doctors in America, I mean, in the world, see, to be some of the best scientists in the world, you see. So it depends upon how committed we are, how serious we are, and dedicated we are to making it happen. So we'll see. We'll gotcha. See.
Thank you so very much for sharing, Bob Oshie. We'll always continue to learn, brother.
I appreciate you, dear brother. Right on, Brother Lost. Peace.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Time is of the essence, right? And I mean that sincerely. Time is of the essence now. But also, too, our time is coming to an end. We only got a couple of minutes to go. And I wanted to make sure that we understood, you know, since we couldn't get Baba Barudi, and boy, I'll be talking with him, and hopefully everything is well with him and his family, because that's important, family, you know. And then we'll get him here. He's been on this program a lot, so it's going to happen. But we had the opportunity to talk about what this day is and what this day means. And I want us to understand clearly. Think about indigenous people, not just here in this country. In fact, I would suggest to you read about the Trail of Tears. I would suggest to you go to a documentary, Exterminate All the Brutes. You could probably get it on YouTube. You could probably get it on HBO. It came on HBO. Exterminate All the Brutes. Outstanding documentary, docudrama. Outstanding docudrama. Exterminate All the Brutes. And it talks about how the European in this country to eliminate all the people and enslave people. These people ain't nothing nice at all. At all. And so I'm saying, you know, we have to, if we don't unify, just like the motto, Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. Those two phrases, the motto of this program, is real. If we don't engage in Pan-Africanism and go back home and work with brothers and sisters on the continent, bring in other brothers and sisters throughout the diaspora who have the intelligence and so forth and the commitment to make it happen, we are going to be done. Pan-Africanism or perish. And if we don't unify, it's going to be over. No, it's not happening tomorrow. And I know I'll be gone before it even can, maybe a couple of times where we tried, I don't know. You know, I'm gone. But damn it, I want it to happen. I pray for it to happen. I try to make it happen. That's my consistency in terms of talking about making sure that it happens. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do it out, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. See you on Wednesday. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Isante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahadie. Abibi Fahadie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. See you on Wednesday.